Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Grog Pod Roguelike Podcast, where each episode we dive into a germ-infested pit of colorful ball-shaped roguelike or light games, bounce some rating numbers off it, and if the game flashes fast enough, revisit it at the end of season recap tournament. I am your false messiah, host of the podcast, Scott Berger, and with me are my eyeless citizen co-hosts.
This is Will Wright, your enemy slowly scrolling towards you.
Hello. I'm of course Andrew Harsh X-Man. It's good to be here.
And it's me, Colin, just a little baby ball, just rolling around on the screen.
This week we are playing Ball X Pit, or is it Ball the Silent X? Pit. Andrew's shaking his head violently. Released October 15th, 2025, as a kind of, at this point now, find an anywhere kind of game between Switch, Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, and most recently a mobile release on iOS and Android. This was a game developed by one Brooklyn-based Kenny Sun and friends, I suppose. It's Kenny has done a lot of previous games, a lot of puzzle games. Which I was scrolling through his gamography, and I was shocked to see, oh my God, I've played some of those way back in the day when I was on a puzzle bender. Like, oh man, Yankai's Peak? That was pretty dope. He's also made Mr. Sun's Hatbox, which is kind of a slapstick stealth platformer from 2023 and 2025's Ball Pit. And he's but he appropriately worn many hats. To direct, design, program, do some of the sound design for this game, but as well as leaning on some of the efforts of Devolver Digital, who has published this game. Oh, I guess also worth calling out this game's composer, Amos Roddy, is a repeat from our previous episode from Kingdom Two Crowns, or King no Kingdom New Lands. He did the music for the Kingdom series. Which I feel like Will can appreciate. But yeah, the Kenny Sun's friends, Devolver Digital, have swooped in to not only publish this game, but also many of a number of our previous episodes. I feel like Devolver's kind of like somehow branded themselves as a de facto rogue roguelite modern standard bearer from our previous episodes. Inscription, Cult of the Lamb, Enter the Gungeon, Loop Hero. As well as many to-do games on the pile at some point, including Downwell, Stick It to the Stickman, Mycopunk, Phantom Abyss, Minos, Wizard with a Gun, coming soon, Serious Sam: Shatterverse, and I think Andrew's been lobbying for Strafe for a while as well. So, almost an endless pit full of rogue balls in Devolver's hat there. Your average player of Ball Pit has about 30 hours of gameplay in it. And Ball Pit descends on the popularity rankings at number 73 with 25,024 total reviews. But Andrew, what is your one sentence, balls to the wall description of what one does in Ball Pit?
Well, let me put it to you like this. Ball X Pit is the arcade game Breakout. Remember Breakout? Meets a shmups shoot 'em up set in a grim but also kind of cartoony, very cartoony medieval fantasy world in which not only the combat but also the town building are inspired by Breakout style ball bouncing gameplay mechanics. Semicolon. Also, Vampire Survivor perks.
Yeah, there's kind of a lot going on in this game, and I appreciate that this game throws you right in. I timed it 46 seconds between booting it up and getting this very nice and charming intro sequence of shining city on the hill, kind of Minas Tirith looking tower, and then out of nowhere comes this like giant flying, I don't know, like UFO pancake, and the sky goes red and. This thing that's like a Legend of Zelda looking Katamari disc flying at the town is like, oh no, it's on a collision course. And it just like cuts to black text saying, Ball Billon has fallen, which I got a pretty good chuckle out of. Smash cut to a smoldering hole in the ground. A pit is all that remains. And then smash cut again to at the edge of this pit, there's this ramshackle looking conveyor belt slash elevator. And then the text goes on to say, "Now treasure seekers flock to explore the depths, dot dot dot." And then the camera pans down into this chasm as this elevator is rolling down, and boom, you're in it. Like, you are in the game a cool 46 seconds after booting it up,
Which,
already shooting balls.
notably,
Is
that is the
so
last time the
appreciated.
pit will be relevant, like in terms of story or theme.
This is true. Wait, is that
Yeah,
really?
I
I mean,
guess.
you guys have progressed to like the end, right? Is that actually the case? There's no, is
Whoa,
the
whoa, whoa,
pit
the
just.
end? Oh, no.
I'm not sure. We put a fair amount of hours into it, but like you go further down into the pit, but like it's mostly ball themed, not pit themed.
Well, I mean, it's the whole literary, it's the whole device for the story. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. We wouldn't have levels if we didn't have the pit, I guess is the point. Let's not undervalue the pit. Come on.
I
You know,
undervalue the
I'm
pit.
pro
We get
pit.
the Dungeons of Dreadmoor where it's like, okay, there's a dungeon and you go down the pit. You know, it's a dungeon, but it's just the word pit. I don't know. There's something about it. I don't want to go into the pit. The dungeon, I'm okay with the pit. I don't want to be in the pit.
All right. Well, you know, we got different opinions here. I'm with the pit, and y'all are not, and that's fine. But Scott, I wanted to say that, you know, I so appreciate that 46 seconds of like, boom, we're in the game. All these modern friggin' games. Somebody sent me as a gift. A good friend sent me a gift. The new Mafia game came out like, I don't know, a year ago or something. I timed it. It took like 2.5 hours to get to actual like gameplay, like where I'm using all the mechanics and I'm fighting and I'm moving around. Like, what? Ridiculous. I just started Alan Wake 2 for the second time. Similar situation. 2 hours until you discharge a gun. And it's like, look, I'm an FPS meathead and like I need the game. We've talked about this before. Like, you need to get a sliver of actual gameplay at the very beginning of the game before you launch into tutorials and story and blah, blah, blah. Like, within the first, I don't know, 30 minutes. I feel like that's reasonable. Within the first 30 minutes, I should be enjoying the core combat or gameplay loop. And this game, of course, does that immediately because, you know, it's one of these proper grim, edgy indie games that we love to see and that Devolver has made a business out of publishing.
Yeah, I feel like unless the it says directed by Hideo Kojima at the start, I feel like maybe like kind of snap to it a little bit.
Oh,
But
yeah.
yeah, I feel like this game just literally drops you right in with maybe one of the well, I don't know. I feel like I've come around on this game a lot. And I feel like the second you start this game, you're like, hey, wait a minute, aren't I supposed to be like shooting balls or something? Because it drops you in manual ball shooting mode to start with,
And this
which
is the last time you will use manual ball shooting ever again, right, fellas?
yes, I
Yeah,
mean that
I'm sure that you could be like slightly tactically better if you didn't have that, but I don't know why. It would be so much more work.
Right.
There is, well, we'll get to the different characters, but
I
there
think
is
it would actually
one.
be more interesting. Like there's a character like that was like the second character you get that like does the auto shoot all the time. I think it would be more interesting if all of them did auto shoot and there's one character that didn't. Then it would be
Yeah.
like a notable gimmick.
I think you're totally right.
Well,
Yeah,
the
and
n
sorry, what
note
does this game actually look like though, Scott? I kind of described it. You're at the bottom of the screen with your character. The screen is scrolling down towards you, and there are waves of enemies coming.
Yeah,
And you're
well, it
bouncing and
was
blasting balls, right?
similar in scope to like Breakout or Arkanoid, I suppose. Your little character at the bottom, you can move around freely in this big rectangle, but yeah, you just have like a slow walking army of rectangular enemies, which I like
It
the
looks
art.
like a mobile game. It
Yeah.
looks like the mobile ad games, where like there's you're at the bottom of the screen shooting.
Yeah, no, that thought did occur to me. I'm like, oh, this is if like those
Those
mobile
were
games were
good.
decent, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A very high effort mobile game, I suppose. But yeah, like it has like I don't know, it has like a certain like devolverness to it of like snappiness, like interesting, like low poly, but like grisly pixel art to it. It feels like a little edgy, but like yeah, it's just like a fun kind of cartoon vibe to it, which doesn't take itself too seriously, which is nice. But yeah, you are dropped into the Bone X Yard or the Boneyard, and you're fighting just big waves of skeletons, and yeah, between like setting the game to auto shoot for you. for me at least, I turned the enemies like flashing bright white when you strike them immediately off. I don't know if this was just like a like it was late at night. I was in my living room, but like basically all the lights are off. The whole room is just being lit up by my Steam Deck,
Yeah.
and you're bouncing these balls off, and it's like a laser show going off from like this little 6-inch screen of mine, just strobe lighting. Yeah, I
Right.
think.
So you went into the options, you turned off flashbang mode. Got it. I
Left it on because
also
I love the chaos. I want my eyes to hurt.
I also turned off the screen shake. I'm over screen shake. It's like at best it maybe immerses me a little bit depending on the type of game, and at worst it makes me worse at controlling the game because my vision is flying around and doing goofy stuff.
Completely agree. I before
Thank
playing
you.
any game nowadays, it's right to the settings. I mean, like, who doesn't, right? You go to the settings, and if I see that there, motion blur, a
Oh
screen
yeah.
shake, get that shit out of here. We
Motion
don't do that
blur,
anymore.
what a blight. What a blight on not just gaming, but like humanity.
Well put.
But yeah, so I don't remember if Arkanoid or Breakout had these different kinds of enemy designs. But there's a couple things to sort of set this apart. You have enemies that are more effectively just kind of like squares and rectangles that kind of walk at you Tetris style, but they have good little like animation or like characters on top of them that are just very very well designed kind of skeletal bishops or bone ballistas or things like that. And notably, there's a big emphasis on like the sides of these creatures, I suppose. So some of them are rectangles, but the idea is that you can bounce either your main balls or your baby balls, which we'll get to, off of like the bottom of these squares, left, right, or the top of them. And there's lots of things that you can kind of pick up to shape a build as you go through with your meaningful gameplay impacting
Yes, thank you.
randomization to maybe say, well, like this thing that I have here does really good damage from the backside of these enemies. So in classic Breakout fashion, I'm gonna try to bubble bobble bounce my little balls to the back of the screen and knock them around. But oh no, here comes a mini boss that it doesn't have a backside to it. It's just a diamond, and kind of throws your build calculus for a loop there. But generally speaking, yeah, like you will have you start with one character, and you bounce balls off of the enemies to knock them down, and they drop Vampire Survivor style blue gems that you pick up to increase your experience points. And I do like that the health pot or like that your health pool and your experience pool off to the left side of the screen are different for each character and they kind of have
Yes,
like different art styles to them.
absolutely. I noticed that also. One of many nice little details in this game.
Yeah, I mean there's just also in general there's a lot of things that you eventually unlock and they are all got a little bit of uniqueness to them. I was just trying to look up. There's 20 different special ball types, I think, and there's approximately 120 combinations of all of those balls. So,
Indeed.
lots of unique things that you can end up with, and then mixing them with different characters. There's a lot of permutations.
Yeah, a lot of build options, a lot of ways to play this game, which is not immediately apparent when you first pick it up. But once you get, I don't know, 6, 7 hours in, you kind of start to realize, because yeah, I was having a tough go of this game initially. And the more I've played it, the more I have enjoyed it, which
Yeah.
is generally good for a game. But I gotta say, like in the first 3, 4 hours, I was like apologizing to y'all on
Yeah.
Discord. I'm like, I'm sorry, I should have, I should have done my research. I should have scoped this game out. I was getting ready to like, I was so close to pitching. Like, okay, do we pivot to another game? Like, what do you guys want to do? I was also like toying with the idea of like, well, maybe I'll just give like a Dark Tide update on like the rogue thing. Maybe I'll pitch that to my coworkers. Fortunately, it was around that time that my third ball, my third eye opened up, and I began
Your
enjoying the game
third
more.
ball opened up.
Yep,
I
third eyeball. There we
think you
go.
got to go see a doctor about that one.
Maybe not. But yes, Colin, back to your point about the there's 20 core balls, and then there's like what 100 over 100 like combinations. So in addition to picking up your little Vampire Survivor gems, you're also periodically picking up the special drop, which you don't get treasure chests, but you do get what evolution points or something. It's a nice little shiny swirling collection of energy, and you pick it up, and that gives you an opportunity to either if you don't have any potential combinations of special balls, it allows you to upgrade your perks and your balls. Or if there is an existing combination, then you can do like a I forget what they're called, a
So
forge, a focus, a
it's
evolution,
evolution
a fusion,
for
fusions and evolutions. There we go.
yeah.
Right.
It's an evolution if it's taking the two balls and turning them into a completely different one. And then there's fusions, which are you take the two balls and they still get merged together, but it retains more of the characteristics of the balls. So it's be like,
Yeah.
oh, now this laser also inflicts poison,
Right. Now it's a
versus
radiation
like,
beam or what
oh,
have
and
you.
this
Yeah,
and this helps
exactly.
because when you get an upgrade, then that essentially is like upgrading two things at once because it's just one object. Is that right?
It
Yeah, well, and
is
it's like
essentially
it also
also.
it opens up a new space. So now
Yes,
you
yes,
have
yes.
like you have two balls that were maxed out at level three. Now you have one unmaxed ball of level one, but it's better than both of those two balls before. And you have that you can level up, and you have an empty slot that you can have another new ball to level up. So
Which I find keeps the game, the building part, the perk selection and the build refinement part, fresher and more relevant throughout the run. A lot of these Vampire Survivor games, you're getting towards the end of your run and well, you've filled all your slots, you've maxed them out, there's nothing left to do, and that part
yeah.
of the building game is gone. But I feel like this system of fusing and evolving and like freeing up slots makes it
Well,
relevant at least
especially
longer.
because a lot of times there is a bit of a power hit right when you do it.
That's true.
Because now you just have less balls that you're shooting out. So it's like it opens up new slots, but if you do it like 5 seconds before the final boss of the level, now you haven't had time to refill those slots and you're like,
Yeah.
well, I haven't really been able to use that extra stuff. And probably, and also perhaps you're changing your build. Like sometimes
Right.
the ball is like, this will fundamentally change how my build works. If you
And
don't
how
know what
long
you're
are these
doing,
runs, gentlemen? How long are they?
15 minutes.
15 minutes. Oh, we love it. We
And that's
love
like a
it.
hard 15 minutes, right? Like it's basically
Yeah, I
the
mean,
boss comes at the set time
it's an
and
on rails shooter with roguelike elements.
None of this 30-minute crap. 15 minutes, and even
or
sometimes that
50
is a little too
hours.
long, but
50 hours
or
if
50
you're
out 50.
playing was it
I don't think we've talked about
what
that yet,
the
though.
endless
I don't know
mode?
what
Oh
you're
right,
saying.
yeah, future
I don't
spoilers.
know what you're talking about.
Oh, time looping future spoilers.
Oh my gosh, that would be Loop Hero. But perhaps we're getting too in depth here. But it's good that we're I think it's good that we're highlighting that because this is a pretty unique formula for a Survivors-like game. I mean, there's a similar mechanic in Survivors, but the actual like taking the two objects and condensing them down into one slotted item feels kind of unique,
Well,
unless I'm forgetting.
notably that
Nope.
is like from well, it is directly from Vampire Survivors, but I feel like this version does it like the best since then
It's also
because
way more core to this game
way
than
more core
like
and the
Vampire Survival is just like
mechanical
every once in a while you can merge them. This one's like every ball has a gazillion things you can
has a
merge.
bazillion combos, and I think that the mechanical effect of merging different items and evolving and everything is more pronounced than exists in, at least with my experience of
Well,
Vampire Survivors. I don't know, maybe I just don't understand how sophisticated that game is.
let me ask a question, or let me frame it like this. So in Vampire Survivors, each of the different weapons and items that you're getting has a very unique structure and how it emanates from your character. Whereas in Ball X Pit, the ball flies away from you. And it's just like a it go it just and it, sure they can bounce off things, they can go through things. I'm not sure, I haven't got them all yet. Maybe there's like a non-linear sort of ball that you get. I have no idea, but the essence of it is it just like it flies away from you, whereas like the garlic in Vampire Survivors is an aura around you that does damage, and then you'll get like the axe throwing, which goes up and around and down. And so I feel like
there is more of a constraint with Vampire Survivors in the sense of, because combining things actually means creating some kind of a new effect in the way that things are flying out from you. Whereas in Baldur's Pit, it feels like they're trying to fit within the ball flies away from you. So that ball will interact with things and move at different rates and have different effects on contact, but it's not really, it doesn't feel like it has as much of that constraint of needing to do something wildly different.
While true, that's kind of like the whole like core conceit of this game is that like it is Arkanoid, it is Breakout, where you have that kind of like bowling alley lane that you're shooting balls with. Like it's like I think the one premise of this game is like, let's take Vampire Survivors, which is like an XY plane, and let's just remove one of those axes entirely and then make it like a borderline auto battler, which is like, a fine conceit to start with. But yeah, like I think you're right in that Vampire Survivors is more in depth with that kind of extra axis to it, because you have like other stuff that like more directionality as well. But like that like I don't know how that would work in this game at all. Like
But
if you
this, well, it can't
had,
because they're
you
only
get,
coming from one direction.
you're
That's
right.
like
I
that's the
think
main issue that I have.
the big difference is like, so this game is all about the weird edge cases. Like each ball individually is like not going to get you like it through to the end game, especially not on the later levels. It's all about like, how do you combine them in a way that you can like kind of break out of that the conceit here, or like you get them trapped on the side, and then it's like also got the horizontal laser, so it's hitting the majority of the field in like 3 seconds.
Wait, isn't that the
So
only strategy though? Like to try and make it so it bounces really fast on the side? I mean, that's like the 90% of the time.
sometimes,
Or
or
like
it's
trying to get it
if
behind, like on the side or behind, right? That's the only two
well,
things.
but there's a lot of characters that are like it. There's a character where if it touches the back wall, it comes back to you immediately. There's ones where like it, there are variations here. It is all, it's not always the best just to have it like on the side or get it back behind. A lot of times, if you
There's
get the balls all
there.
stuck back behind, you will absolutely
Oh
immediately
yeah,
lose. Like
totally.
that is sometimes the worst possible case for you, because it'll like go
You.
back and forth and not be actively hitting a large number of the enemies.
It's reasonable to think that will, but I think there's enough perks that and character abilities that encourage more strategies than that. As you mentioned earlier, Scott, there's the perks that give you critical hits depending on like where you hit the enemies. If you hit them on the sides or the front, there's the perk where if you catch the ball, it will generate like more smaller projectiles. And again, there's a bajillion different, not bajillion, I don't know, there's what, like a couple dozen characters, all with sort of different bonuses. And
Well, and
that way,
there's a fair number of balls that are like one
don't even
hits.
bounce. Yeah.
Yeah, they just hit and do something, which
Right.
is a completely different
Or phase through, or the lasers, or what have you. Yeah, we haven't even talked about these balls. Come on, we're blabbing on about all the perk system, and just to reiterate, it was my perception that the fusion of items. I don't know if that's actually true, and I haven't played Vampire Survivors in a while, but it felt more impactful. Like, ooh, looky, my laser is now a freezing beam. Wow. Perhaps I'm just being tricked by the pretty 3D graphics. But what kind of balls are we talking about? We got the iron ball, we got the stone ball, we got the ghost ball,
We
we
got the
got the
rock
acid
ball.
ball, the fire ball, the light ball,
Laser balls.
laser balls. What am I missing here?
Well, notably, like there's, I don't know, maybe like 20, 25. Yeah, let's see. Wiki says there's total 20 base balls in the game, but like
The
we were
egg
saying.
sack, the brood mother, this, that, and the other. And again, this can all be combined. Sorry, what? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so there's like 20 base ones, but the combinatorics of those. Like, for example, like, oh man, only 20 balls. That seems like not a whole lot to work with here. But depending on what starting character you pick, what ball they kind of start launching to start with, and I suppose like also what level you're on and maybe what speed you're playing at are all big factors as to like what direction do I want to take my build. So, for example, like the way that these combine in interesting effects, which As soon as like this was spelled out to me in a YouTube video, I was like kind of like meh on the game until I got into this, and I'm like, okay, that's where I've been going wrong the whole time. Where you have some balls that apply like status effects, so like a bleed ball will like bounce off of something, and the next time any ball bounces off of something that's bleeding, it'll take more damage. And so if you take like a status ball and another status ball and combine them, that's not good. Don't do that. What you want is like something that does like a status and something that applies that status a lot. And so, for example, like this brood mother ball, which has a very cool looking, I guess, I don't know, a cockroach or something. So like all the art in this game, I think, is really good and very evocative. This brutless, gross looking
Scott,
bug.
it's clearly a spider. It's
Is
got
it?
eight legs.
I thought it only has six legs and two of those are horns.
Oh, sorry. I'm looking. Sorry, I was looking at the evolution where it becomes a
You're
spider.
skipping ahead.
Yeah,
Spoiler
yeah.
alert.
Spoilers, spoilers.
But yeah,
And
if you take
I forget the names of the actual balls.
got your spider ball, you got your bowling ball. Anyway, you take your brood mother ball, which says it has a 25% chance of birthing a baby ball each time it hits an enemy. These are all numbers that are fake and explode exponentially the more you play it. But like the idea is that like that bounces off something and makes like little like white standard balls that fly around. So you got your special balls and your standard balls. If you combine that brood mother ball with let's say the bleed ball, for example, so now like it hits something and all of your little baby balls now are doing that bleed effect and bouncing off of stuff. And so you've effectively just like super multiplied your combat effectiveness by combining this like applicator ball that like creates like more scaling with the status effect ball that's like, okay, well now more stuff that happens to it, like it'll just snowball and go crazy. And so, for example, like if you combine the ghost ball that passes through passes through enemies with like the burn ball, that will just like sail through all of the enemies and just apply burn to all of them. So now they're taking damage over time, or like with poison and the laser, et cetera, et cetera. So there's like just that in and of itself was super eye-opening versus like me where I'm like, oh yeah, I'll combine poison and lightning. That seems like a good idea. Oh no, I'm getting like roll over every single time. I think that kind of strategy, once I saw that like that's the way to play the game, I'm like, okay, I got it. And yeah, my runs have been going better ever since, but yeah, like if you combine like the brood mother ball with some other one, you get a different kind of build going. Like there's ones that I've been having fun with are like zombie builds, where like if you apply a whole bunch of poison or like you upgrade your balls to like get the virus ball, you can have like disease spread. And then if you have a passive that you've picked up, we're like, oh, like 50% of the time when they die, like they turn into a friendly unit that starts pushing up the thing. So there's a lot of
And there's crazy because like I've never even heard of this ball,
the zombie one
yeah, it's because
or the
it's
disease
just
ball, I
ran like
suppose.
when you just like I don't like the bleed ball, so I haven't like gotten it a lot.
Or I guess virus. Well, so notably, like you unlock more of these balls the further you play through the game, unsurprisingly. And I mean, like, yeah, unlocking stuff as you progress through the game is kind of like the name of the game, because I almost feel like this is
It is.
it's very meta progression heavy.
Yeah, I think it actually might be too meta progression heavy. Like,
Perhaps.
all four of us have talked, struggled with the early game because it's not very good. Like, the forest level is bad. It is not fun to play.
Oh.
In comparison to the later levels, in my opinion, like you don't have as much to do. You're not dodging things. You're not dealing with the character movement in any way.
Well, indeed. Yeah, the first couple of levels, the enemy behavior, there is some unique enemy behavior, more unique than the game Breakout. But it's not that engaging. It's not until you start getting to the third and fourth, and
And you
God
just
knows if
don't
there's
have
a
as
fifth level, maybe I'll get there someday. No, I think I'm on the sixth. I can't
yeah, you
remember.
don't have as
What
many
happens? I
ball
mean, like,
combinations.
what is it? I mean, how are they when you get up to the fifth, sixth level? Like, are they not just scrolling slowly at you
No,
anymore?
they're still scrolling. It's more to do
They're
with the enemy behavior. And they come up with some pretty
shooting
unique,
lasers at
interesting
you. They're
stuff.
th shooting slowdown things. Some of them are like the mushroom level there, ones from the back that are pushing enemies forward faster. There's just more things getting shot at you in
Environmental
various ways.
hazards,
Yeah,
basically.
they're like lobbing things down on circles on it, so you have to like you know where it's going to be in advance, but you have to kind of dodge out of the way of it.
It's more engaging than the first couple
Yeah, you're
levels where
doing
you're.
you have to do more stuff. Like you're like, oh, I would love to shoot it in this corner here, but now I have to like aim really hard to get it over there because I can't quite. And like, oh, I missed it, so now maybe trying to get it in the corner isn't the best strategy because I can't consistently do
So
it.
there are Ravager biles, is what I hear happening
That's
at this
exactly
new
what it is.
stage.
It's almost
And
entirely what
oh,
they're biling all your that's a StarCraft 2 reference.
well, yeah, I was trying to. Which one's the Ravager? I don't remember
Was
who
that
that
the
you've you
Roach?
fool.
If
It's the upgrade from Roach.
there you go.
Oh
I
yeah,
don't even play
okay.
Star. I just watch StarCraft. I'm just. I don't know. It's just such a.
Outstanding, outstanding. Oh, but wait, sorry, real quick before we get off the fusions. So critically, you select your two things, you select your two balls you want to fuse, and then on the screen is the answer to how you say the name of this game. So it shows the two balls, and it's like, yo, we got the bleed ball, and we got the broodmother ball. It says iron ball, or no, I'm screwing up this example, but it says ball X ball, because it's like, oh, we're going to multiply these two balls together. And I mean, so yeah, it's ball X pit, obviously,
Wait, does
because
that
all
mean
the
ball
upgrades.
times pit then,
Yeah, that's what
or
I'm hearing out of this. You've muddied the waters even further.
why? Well, you're not going to say times,
I would.
obviously, and you're
Ball
not going to say
multiplied by
multiply.
pit.
If you just read out the words on the upgrade screen, it says broodmother X bleed
Andrew, do you know
ball.
how many years of engineering school I went to? I see that X, that's a multiply.
Yeah,
That's a
well, I mean,
variable.
no,
But I guess
a
it's
dot
also
is a
X as a
multiply.
variable. I
That's a
don't
big.
know. I don't
Oh
know.
my God. How many years did you go to the.
What about a cross
Well,
product?
I'm gonna stick with
It's a
the.
different shape X though.
I mean, that's fair.
In fact, we just really didn't use X's because it was confusing. It really should be a dot. That's the true multiplication
Ball
symbol.
dot pit.
Wait, is
Ball dot
that
pit.
a
So
dot? I thought it was more of a
go
bullet,
to the
but
website,
okay.
doll ball dot pit. I'm
So
sure there's nothing wrong with that there.
the first few levels here, you have the bone multiply yard, you have the snowy X shores, and you got the liminal dot desert.
Yep.
I feel like the game, for me, like the game really started to open up like around the liminal desert area,
Yeah.
but I was also maybe like also like I wanted to kind of check myself, because when I was playing Mega Bonk, I was like, okay, my goal here is to beat the game. No. Your goal here is not to like speed run to try to beat the very the stage eight, the vast X void. Your goal here is meta progression treadmilling. That's really the goal of the game. You just happen to unlock more stages as you go through. So once I that was another kind of like key moment for me, realizing was like, oh no, I shouldn't be trying to speed run level three and getting bodied every time, especially playing on quote fast mode. What I really need to do is unlock all these fucking blueprints on each level, where, and I don't know, maybe I said that a little derogatorily, like you are encouraged to play stages multiple times to unlock these blueprints, which like that is these are your progression systems. Like, so for example, the first stage, these are all randomly dropped, so it's not guaranteed that you'll unlock these one after the other. But upon completion of the Bone X Yard, you get a trophy that just like gives you more kind of passive scaling that like you could just set it and forget it and not really care about later. And in fact, maybe more on that in a minute, but you sometimes these give you like the core kind of roguey gameplay abilities. So like in the Boneyard, you can unlock the blueprint for the Exorcist building, and that will allow you to banish stuff out of the item pool, or other things will give you more rerolls, or other things will unlock the double character mode or free rerolls and things like that. So there's some that are specific like gameplay things like that. And then there's this mile long list of buildings that all kind of look similar to each other. That is your meta progression, where in your first stage, you'll unlock like the clinic, which every time that you upgrade that increases your max health. Or the shoemaker increases your speed across all of the different characters. Or the schoolhouse increases the your intelligence stat, or your strength stat, or decks, all these stats on stats on stats. This is a very numbers go up game, where there is skill involved with like figuring out what things you need to pick to beat the stage. But I feel like a lot of this game is booted up, upgrade building, in this kind of like town building
Yeah,
second half of
who
the
wants
game.
to tackle explaining how the meta progression actually works? The town building. It's extremely unique.
Yeah, I mean, like you start with like a small section, and I think you can unlock, I don't know, like 9 or 12 more sections of these little areas, but
A little
it's a
RTS looking grid.
yeah, it's a base builder. Like you're building a town, but when you build a building and you plop it down, and it has like this very nice fidelity to it. It feels very good to like plop something down. I don't know if anyone else has played this game with a controller, like a separate like controller plugged in, but the rumble to this game felt really good. I think especially for like picking up and like placing these buildings for whatever reason, there was like that felt like alarmingly nice. But you place a building down and it's just like, oh, here's like some scaffolding. To actually complete this building and have it be activated, you send your workers out to go and bounce off of them. And the number of workers that you have available is based on the number of characters that you've unlocked in the game. So you are kind of incentivized to treadmill through the game to unlock more characters. So you use these characters to build out more of your town. Because if you just start with one, it's not very interesting. They're just kind of like running through this wheat field and you're like, this is what they wanted to play for the podcast? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But
but
that
you unlock like 10 characters and then all of a sudden you have this big conga line
and each
of
time
goo.
you level up the characters by playing them more, and then they get like slightly different things where it's like, okay, this one shoots through woods rather than bouncing off of them. So it's like, okay, you could split them out into weird ways and
Does this mean there's an optimal strategy where like essentially the blueprint for your town where someone's figured out like this is the exact way you set it up, and if you do this, you will maximize resource
boy, it
return.
sure would be nice if we had someone who was really into spreadsheets who had played this game a lot and could have told us that answer.
It's probably a yes and no thing
There's probably a
where
bunch of great layouts that I have not
you
discovered.
well, if you had played this game for 8 hours, and you looked at our bases, you would be appalled, I'm sure, at the lack of efficiency of my weird like tunnel funnel where I'm shooting my guys through to like build gold and then they scatter to the winds out there. And
And this base building, this specific portion of the base building where you are selecting gather and you are aiming where your workers are going, the trajectory, the angle at which your workers are going to fly out and gather stuff, you only get to do that once in between ball shooting rounds. And there were times where I was finding that part of the game so exciting that I was really chomping at the bit to like get to my
well,
next
Andrew,
gather.
until you get that one building, that lets you do it twice.
Twice!
Well,
Oh
oh,
my
or sorry,
gosh.
excuse me, pay for the privilege to do it again.
Woo,
Which
baby, now we're talking.
I think you could maybe get an infinite engine going,
I
because
think
there's
it
some of
caps at
them.
three or four of them.
Okay.
Three or four harvest cycles, but yeah, like just about literally every number in this game, there is a building that you can plop down into your, I don't think you're technically rebuilding Balbilon, but you are building out this town at the edge of the pit, that you can stat scale, you can increase the base number for, you can stat scale the stat scaling, so each. And
Yeah.
crucially, Colin, I think what you were talking about with the different strategies involved, like the thing that I think they are largely based on when you level up a character based on their XP progression, not necessarily they're leveling up within a run. And this is kind of hard to describe without actually like showing the visuals of the game, but there's like multiple different
Right. You get the
levels.
multi the meta level of your
Yeah.
character.
Your meta level, when they level up, you're granted like RPG style options of like, oh, well, like For the Cogitator, do you want him like every time that he bounces off a stone thing, do you want the harvest clock to increase by 0.02? You're like, sure, whatever. I don't know. This seems like a completely meaningless number or whatever. But that.
But then somehow you end up with like, you're like, I arranged these somehow, and now my harvest clock is like 3 times longer because some guy got trapped and like bounced off rock a bunch of times.
Yeah, so like if you're like me and you're like, oh well, I'll just have like the clock scale off of like stone farming. I just built like this like rat's nest maze of like buildings on either side that I would like pick up and plop down. Like, okay, I want these to be built or upgraded. Put those at like the start of this bouncing maze, and then in the like the line like the in between alleyways of the maze are all just stone. So like they would like be hitting a stone, increasing the harvest clock. And then, like, you know, rattling back and forth to bounce off of these buildings and build them or upgrade them or something. And that this was another thing that, like, I only clocked at maybe like 5 hours in, which I was a little disappointed it took me that long to get to. But I was like, oh, yeah, this is, I can totally understand what Andrew's on about with, like, oh, yeah, like this, once you get the base building engine
Yeah,
aspect of that going, that felt
when
nice.
Andrew was talking about being into the base building and I hadn't started, or I had like 1 hour into the game, I'm like, Andrew, I'm concerned about you and your interests.
Oh,
Because
that's
it's
funny.
pretty boring. I think that's a problem with it, is both the base building and the
Yeah, the
actual
start
realms.
is rough.
Like, I think they need to have a level that's like grassy X field, and it's like one gear worth of meta progression to like get out of it. You get like 3 blueprints, and then it's like, great, you can never play this again. And then
Like,
all of the like enemy things are like pushed 1 level up in terms of like how much they interaction you have to do to play with them.
Maybe that's what I needed, because
I
yeah,
think
no, I'm
so.
having that it was just I didn't get a hook there in the first hour.
Because you watch videos of people playing this game at like fast 9 speed, and you're just like, what game are they playing
Yeah,
here?
they're shooting. It's like the difference between someone who's got all of the meta progression in Vampire Survivors and is just like, I can't see the screen. And like level 1 Vampire Survivor, you're like, I'm throwing a knife. But if it took way longer to get to the screen shaking levels.
Hey,
Also,
so
Bleed Ball is the first one, so boring.
yeah, it's like the yeah, this game definitely does not start on its most exciting foot of you're just like, boy, I heard like really great things about this game. Oh, it's just I don't know.
Yeah, the starting ball selection is like kind of rough. It's like iron ball and stone ball. I was like, okay, well, maybe we make those the same. Like, let's and as it goes, it gets more exciting, but and you got to start somewhere. But I don't know. I just yeah, I agree. We all agree. The way that the first few levels are laid out is just not it's not ideal. And I'm curious how they arrived at that, you know, over the course of development, how they got to that point. Maybe I don't know. Maybe they did play test it, you know, where it was more complicated to start with and they got bad feedback or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like this game is like the goal for this is just, hey, why don't we have a good 20, 30 hour meta progression treadmill game that's just fun to bop in, throw lasers at stuff. Maybe there's, you know, a little bit of challenging levels here and there. I never really felt like Slay the Spire now has just ruined me because now I always think of Will's phrase of challenging build archetypes. And I'm like, okay, well, if I got like a zombie poison build going right now on the fungal forest, surely this won't work here because, like, surely the enemies in the fungal forest will be resistant to some kind of disease element. No, it just works for every stage.
Well, I'm sorry, and I'm starting to look through like the characters I haven't unlocked yet, and it's like there's one was like, oh, the balls are affected by gravity. The battler becomes turn-based. Like, I don't even know how that's possible.
I noodled around with that one a little bit because I knew that one would come up. It like you pick a direction, you launch the balls, they bounce, and then they all come back to you, and then the enemies move down one step. So
Interesting.
I feel like it's egregiously slow, but
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
a better accessibility option.
Yeah,
I don't know
there
if
are.
that necessarily needs its own specific character, but
I also did like the one, the very, very, very bottom, False Messiah, which I now understand Scott's reference in the beginning. If streaming on Twitch, audience can vote on certain choices in random events.
Wow.
Like that's, I mean, that's good. That's clever.
To Will's
At like
point
engagement
about
of how to get people to play and watch your game.
and to Will's point about the balls just going on linear paths, there is a character called the Carouser, where you have to build the UFO 50 party house. It's not UFO 50. It's just called the party house. You gotta watch out for the cops still. But it says balls can orbit around the player when on a return trajectory. So there's, within the confines of a rail style shooter hallway fight, maybe there's a little bit more element to that. But like, I do appreciate that there is a lot of variations between the characters.
So many different ways to play this game. And while we're listing off nifty, interesting character mechanics, the shield breaker, that is literally the breakout paddle. Like he has a big, giant, flat shield that you
I
can
didn't think about that
bounce
until
the
just
balls
now.
off of.
Excuse me, it's shield bearer, not breaker.
Oh, is it? Oh, my mistake. The shield bearer, rather.
He's definitely the coolest looking guy that you can pick from.
Indeed. And hey, speaking of cool and how this game looks, what do we think of the art? This game has like this really interesting mashup of 2D and 3D elements that looks really nifty and unique. And
I
it's a little
like.
bit difficult for me to describe, but like for example, like the main like minions, the little enemies you're fighting, like some of them will be made up of like flat planes, like an enemy's head might just be like two flat pieces of like sprite artwork, like mounted on a low poly like torso, and all that's like floating on a three-dimensional block. And it looks neat. I like the look of these graphics.
I felt like it was it's like a slightly gritty chibi sort of thing. I mean, the characters
Yes,
all like
sure.
they have the jaw, the almost like not, I wouldn't say circular, but like a
Like
squircle.
Funko Pop.
Yeah, it's like a squircle shape for their head.
Yeah,
And
they're Funko Pop shaped.
I'm not, I can't get behind that one. I mean, I'm always, if you can go darker, go darker. That you make it more gritty, make it more cool. That's the word. They dark and gritty and cool, they all go together.
I
Yeah,
like.
it reminded me of like N64 graphics,
Yeah.
but like way more characters than the N64 could possibly render.
For sure. Yeah, it's a very it's it is Nintendo
It's like,
64 low poly, but in like
yeah,
in one of the better ways you can do that, I feel
it's
like.
Nintendo 64 with your RTX on mode.
Whoa, RTX a lot. Yeah, exactly. Exactly,
Yeah,
exactly.
I
And
like
I
the
think
pixel art that they have for the other stuff though.
yes, right, all the menuing and everything and the icons for all the different balls is all 2D
The
sprite
fusion,
art.
all those sort of like screens that are like slightly 3D but like focused on the 2D. I think that's all really well done, I think.
The one thing I do like a lot of the art style and aesthetic. I don't know that it works very well for the base building stuff because the amount of time that it took me to figure out like what on earth do I like for the longest time playing this game, I thought I got really bummed out when I picked up the Snowy Shores trophy for beating the second level. And because up to this point, I was just like, I don't know, I'm just gonna build this building and slap it down and whatever. I unlock this thing and it says gain 0.05 AoE power for each character you've completed the Snowy X Shores with. Each fast tier completed on top of that adds a plus 0.005 bonus per character. And it just kind of
Oof.
like threw my arms up and I'm like, really? Like, this is maybe the worst example of this I've ever seen, which, and to the game's credit, this is not a thing that's like, this is like the entire gameplay is hinging on this. I think it just kind of tilted me at the time
Yeah.
because I didn't really understand why all the other meta progression buildings were so necessary. Because like having like bounce up, constantly upgrading and bounce your dudes off of things to scale up your dexterity, intelligence, leadership, all those kind of like base stats across all the characters, that's what you need to be doing. Don't focus on like this trophy nonsense. But at the same time,
The trophy stuff is really just there as a slightly extra reason to do all of the levels with different characters.
it is.
Right.
And what I'm trying to drive home is that the art for the base building part while functional, never really drove home the point to me of like, oh, this stuff over here is way more important. Like for me, it was like, oh, well, this trophy that is just com like almost comically bad in terms of scaling, is like it's a little 1x1 grid square thing that you can just kind of throw off into the corner.
Right, which should be a clear indication to you that it's not very important or good.
True. And in retrospect, me thinking of like, oh, maybe the bigger buildings are more important, now that you've said it, is fairly obvious.
No, I sorry. That was a little bit rude of me, but it's not immediately clear what is good and what is bad in the base
Well,
building
and
and
they're not really color coded in any way. Like looking at the map, it's kind of like a mishmash. Like I can't tell what building does what by looking at it at all.
For sure, for sure. And I can definitely appreciate getting tilted by that. Anytime I see a 0.05 in any meta progression system, I'm like, ah, developers. Yeah, the base building gets a little unwieldy at points. And I don't know how you fix it because it is kind of now I mean I've got, I don't know, I'm trying to remember at least six, if not seven, like areas opened, and there's so many buildings and so much stuff. So it's a little bit, it can be a little bit difficult to parse.
Which game does it best? I'm gonna put my vote in for The King Is Watching.
Well, I sadly was not.
The King Is Watching, it is a much more integral part of the
You know,
combat
that's fair.
experience,
Yeah, that's
though.
true. So it
It
has to do it better because it's the that's the whole game, right?
yeah, yeah.
That brings up a good point because it does feel like the base building part would maybe be more interesting if that's what you were defending. Or I don't know, like there's
Perhaps.
like on the one hand I can appreciate that they are totally separate systems, and then on the other hand I can also see like, well, I'm building out this thing, but for what reason other than number go up, which yeah is kind of like a major sort of conceit and driving engine for the game. But wouldn't it be cooler if, like, I don't know, every new level that you unlocked, there was like maybe like a eugenics boss that kind of like came to like fuck up your town or something, where you were like, oh, now I've got to like figure out a way to put all these Tetris pieces together, and then like, oh no, what happens if like some of my farmland gets blown up? Again, like the game wasn't designed to do that, but.
I also feel like, so we're calling it Bollocks Pit, and you have this weird platform that's next to your base, and you're descending down into the pit, which for reasons, I can't remember if there's an
For
actual
reasons,
story.
when you
What about
start a run, you have
Baldalon?
to descend down into the pit. And so you take the big giant
Why? What are
steampunk
you?
Eberron lift to go look for treasure and glory and gold and artifacts and
Well,
things.
but
What?
what if instead you started at the bottom of the pit and everything was built on top of your thing and you were trying to
Whoa.
escape the pit?
Whoa.
That seemed like a much better like conceit than
Perhaps.
building it on the platform.
For a while, I thought your goal was to rebuild Balbillon by just like building, you know, like because it makes sense. You're building out all these buildings and you're upgrading them, et cetera, et cetera. But I think to answer Colin's question a little bit, as you progress through these levels, when on like the level select screen, it's just kind of like a big old chasm, and you like go down this chasm to like deeper and deeper levels, and it's maybe a little emblematic, but maybe not so much, where like the deeper you go, the more monsters and like because like the Smoldering Depths is level six, the Heavenly Gates is level seven, and then the Vast Void is level eight. And at the end of the Vast Void, level eight, you fight the titular like
Spoilers, spoilers.
Zelda Katamari that attacked the town to begin with. And so, like at the very bottom of this chasm is your final boss, arch
But you
nemesis.
should know
Look,
about that though, right? I mean, like
yes,
Dungeon of
that is true.
Dreadmore, you have there's a Dreadmore, Slay the Spire. Oh, I guess you don't really know. I mean, there's only so many things you can. You go down to kill a boss, you go up to escape like
What
Hades, or
was
you go
that
up to kill
game? What
something.
was
You're
that
Mario and
bad?
you're running to the right.
What was that bad game with the seasons that we played?
Bad game, come on. Matosta.
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
that's oh. It's the one that we have the old man emoji in the Discord
I got
for.
it. I got it here. Hold on.
It
Dot age.
is.
That's
Yeah,
it.
yeah, yeah.
Speaking
There
of
was a lot
another
wrong.
multiplication name. Oh
There was a lot of
my
.xh things that I didn't like, but I did, it, you know, I did a much better job of like have if you want to have a story, you could have a story or something that goes on during your town phase that's not just send your guys out to bounce around. I think that's probably a good enough, but there really isn't a link between them. And like Ball X Pit is really just there because they want to make a pun on Ball Pit.
Sure, yeah, very true, very true. Yeah, it's not a story-driven game, so I don't
You
really care too much, but I
don't need
agree
it.
that it would be nice.
It's getting pretty close to my platonic game where there is no story and
Ooh.
no flavor whatsoever.
No flavor. But yes, but I agree with the main issue that we're all sort of talking about, which is it'd be nice if there was some more interaction between the two game modes. In Last Spell, like the town that you're building is the town that's being attacked, as you say, Scott. And again, we acknowledge that, well, it would have had to, the Ball X Pit would have had to been designed completely differently. But again, like it doesn't necessarily have to be that you're defending the town. There could be some kind of other gameplay interaction where the combat mode and the town building mode are there's some interplay. Would have been really nice. And as it exists, there is not.
Is it really just a pit just because of the term ball pit, which to be like is a completely different idea? That's like the thing that you at Chuck E. Cheese, there's a ball pit, if I recall correctly.
Well, let's game this out. I suspect that they wanted to make a breakout style game, make it a roguelike, and then they start going, all right, what are some words associated with ball? Oh, of course, ball pit is like the first thing you think of. And they go, oh, we could have the game take place in this location. And then, they come up with this, goofy story about Balbalon.
It's like, oh, it's a good pun name. Like we can build
But
like some
yes,
theming
Will.
around that.
I think and hey, as you know, the core story of like adventurers are going down into the pit, like hey, as a big stalker head, like I'm all about going to forbidden places to go and get shit, to go plunder shit.
They do a pretty good job of the ball theme part. Like having the like ball breaker, not ball breaker.
The ball breaker. Why
Bridge
isn't there a
pet.
ball
Yeah,
breaker
there we go.
class?
That's the brick breaker, whatever.
Yeah, brick breaker. That I mean, like, yeah, we could have.
Bouncing around thing for the town. That's like pretty good and clever, and it fits really well with the like
The most
the theme of the game. Like having
appropriate theme, yes.
the town aspect theme mesh well with the game aspect game
You're
part.
right. This game
Nice.
does need a fat Italian mobster constantly
Called the
walking around
ball
saying,
breaker.
"You're breaking my balls here."
Yeah, and actually, that raises the question,
Every time the
is
ball gets back, it breaks. He has to get a new one every
there
time.
is there any voice acting in this game at all?
I don't think so. Which
Well, I don't
I don't
so.
think this game would be better if it did.
No, that's fine. I was just curious. I was just thinking
No, oh,
about what
actually,
about
there. No, hang on.
oh?
There is voice acting
Oh.
because one of my favorite parts of this game, once the end, like your build is not going so great. Your meta progression is F tier because you haven't figured out the trick behind the systems. The enemies are piling up. You have all of these skeletons like walking at you,
The
and then
screen is filling.
your screen is filling. And then, like from Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, you have them start doing their Uruk-hai chants of like, "Ooh, ooh,
What?
ooh."
I never noticed this.
Did you not?
Wow.
Well, you
Really?
must have
How
been
did you
much
not
better
notice
than.
this?
I
That's
guess I'm
like
so good at the game.
them chanting is like the sign that you. It's like when the music speeds up. Like, uh-oh,
That's a
they're
lovely
chanting. That means
detail.
that I'm losing.
Wow. I guess I was listening to music or watching videos or something. That's a lovely detail. Again, one of those another nice details in this game. This game was made with I think a lot of attention and care mostly.
I want every character to have a Wii style oof whenever they get hit,
Oof,
which is
oof,
slightly different.
that's my favorite thing, as I've said on every pod. Yeah, that's
Maybe one unique death sound. Can we settle on that?
I want no, I want them to have a cringy voice line that they say whenever they get hit,
Oh
so that
yeah.
you're punished
We love
even
that.
more so.
You're not
Hey,
getting away
catch
that
this.
easy.
Try this on for size. You
And
will get me next time.
I do
Get
think
bald.
the
Take
you're breaking my
this.
balls.
You're breaking my balls here.
The
How does the game sound, fellas? What do we think of the sound effects and the music and everything? I thought the music was pretty good, but like not the catchiest thing I've ever heard.
Wrong.
I like the desert theme though. That
You're wormy.
got stuck in my head a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if it's good music, but it definitely got stuck in my head.
I think it was good. I think once I saw that it was from the same composer that did the Kingdom series, I thought, yeah, okay. Like it's good music to listen to. It doesn't kind of overpower the rest of the game.
Right.
And it's something that like, yeah, you could just totally mute and like listen to your favorite roguelike video game podcast instead. And yeah, you would still have just as fun of a time.
Quite, quite, quite. And of course, sound effects. I enjoy the sound of boop, 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 like the, while you're harvesting, the guys bouncing around, your little dudes bouncing around and collecting things, and all the sound effects I thought were pretty well executed. And critically, nothing annoying. No annoying sound effects. No annoying sound loops. That is arguably maybe one of the most important jobs of the sound in a game, to not anger you, anger the player.
Especially when there's like 10,000 balls flying across the screen,
Yes.
that
Yeah.
like, yeah, I could see how that could be pretty annoying. But like when you get just like the standard laser fire sound, combine that with poison and is shooting like these poison beams, it does sound different. So like all of the evolution
Ooh,
balls have
yeah.
different sounds to them too, which is very nice. Yeah, I think like the sound to this game is also really good, especially the jump scare whenever any of like the mini bosses or like main bosses die and you aren't expecting it and they let out this like weirdly loud like sound that you're just like,
Yeah.
whoa.
Oh, yeah. And that actually raises a specific gameplay question I have. Would it be better if the bosses had health bars? Because as it is, they do not. I don't think there's an option for it.
True,
And there were some runs
and
where I'm like, yo, I have no idea what my DPS is. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to beat this guy. And sometimes I'd be surprised, at how fast or sometimes how slow.
it does eliminates a layer of strategy, right? Because I in my 1 hour, like I had that problem multiple times where I'm like, all right, should I be killing the minions around him, or is he
Right.
like on the verge of death? Because it eliminates the strategy decision there, because you're like, well, I have to be sure this thing dies, otherwise I lose, right? So I don't know, it just that would be nice if there was a health bar.
That's a great point. It does kind of take away a meaningful choice.
There's a
Like,
very
if there's not a
subtle
bar.
health bar for them.
Oh.
It's very easy to miss because there's so much shit
Oh.
flying around on the screen. I believe with the mini bosses, I don't know if this applies to the main stage bosses, but the mini bosses, you bounce, you like, you're hurting them, you're damaging them. They will start to get little cracks at the bottom of like of their
Ah,
base. And
I
again, this
see.
is a blink and you miss a detail, but I'm glad it's there because yeah, I'm like, how much damage am I doing to this guy? Like, is he dead yet? And like, I went out with the magnifying glass, fine tooth comb, and we saw, oh, yeah, there's like the I thought they were like roots growing at the bottom of the enemy at first, but yeah, I think the cracks showing up were like an indication that like, oh, okay, I actually am doing damage to this enemy.
Gotcha. Well,
What's
that's a nice detail. I guess I wasn't paying close enough of attention. And it's not such a problem that, it's not a huge issue. And it sounds like they accounted for it with something that's maybe a little too subtle, but that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. So, ooh, what this? Yeah, this game. Did you play with mouse and keyboard?
Absolutely.
Okay, I was rocking a controller, and Scott was on his Steam Deck. And
Well, I did also play this on my desktop with my
you did.
Xbox controller, and that felt really good. I feel like the mouse and keyboard aspect, like I kind of touched on it a second ago, but
The rumble.
the rumble felt like very high def. Like if you can have rumble that feels like 4K rumble.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about the what's the
I
level
don't know
of
that.
customization can be
Yeah.
done with rumbling, but I get what you're saying. The way it's implemented in this game is good, and obviously we're using different controllers, so like the hardware is totally different. I'm curious what they did to achieve
Well,
that.
there are actually, as I've discovered, a lot of there's not maybe not a lot, but there are layers to haptic feedback. And obviously there's the intensity, but there's also the pattern at which you get it. Because if you do
Yeah.
like 1 millisecond on and then a gap and then another millisecond, that's gonna have a different feel than one millisecond, three gap, another millisecond. Like it's just like these little itty bitty things that you can detect that are just hard to like be like, what is actually happening there? I don't know. But is it high def? Oh yeah, this rumble here, this has got a different feel than your
High res.
average rumble, 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 rumble. It's a da 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 da. It's got that. It's got a Morse
Okay.
code. It's got a Morse code of rumble coming at you.
Got a sort of a staccato situation going on. Yeah, definitely. They're doing some fancy stuff there. For sure, for sure. And What do we have here? Okay, well, should we address this, gentlemen? Should we address this situation that's happening that we've been keeping secret from our listeners? Colin, unfortunately, has lost some internet. His internet has been cut. A giant spiked ball has severed the connection to his household. So hopefully he'll return soon. But we must carry on in his stead. I'm sure that's what he would want. There was another thing I wanted to mention here real quickly with regards to going back to the meta progression for just a second. I think that perhaps it's one of those things where you have to engage with the meta progression system. You have to engage with the town building system. And some players, I think, are just not going to be interested. I'm barely interested. I think it's kind of fun, but like my base looks like ass. It's like a total chaos mess. It looks terrible. City Skyline players would have a conniption if they saw how inefficient my town is laid out. So none of us seem to have had a huge problem. At least, initially we had issues with it, but we kind of got into the flow of the base building. But I think it might be a little bit of a mistake to make it so involved. And I feel like maybe there should be some kind of a accessibility or gameplay option that makes it automatic, that automates it.
Or I mean, I think this I mean, an automation that might work, but I think as a general mechanic with the meta progression and roguelites in general, you really want to be able, even if it's difficult, to win on the first round. If you're a veteran player and you restart the game and you know everything there is about the best combinations, you should be able to win on the first round. I know, Scott, you brought up Mega Bonk as an example of like a heavy meta progression game, but you know how they solve this? Like you can't actually there's tiers of each level. Like you can only beat the on the first playthrough, you can only go through and get to the first run through. Usually for each, full level, you actually have to go through it like three times by the very end. But you can definitely beat the game, so to or beat the level the first time you play. Same is true for Slay the Spire, same is true for Hades, and potentially not true for this game. And I think that that's a pretty I don't know, a misstep when it comes to this sort of thing. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think you're right, and I think there is a big audience of people who do like that, who do like that aspect of like, oh, I just want I thought like
Oh, praise the great ball in the sky.
Colin has emerged back up the elevator from the
That's
deep
right.
dark pit of internet blackout
Yeah,
for
I don't know
too
what
long.
happened there. Even my phone was having trouble with the internet. It makes
Oh,
me wonder if
wow.
there's like something wrong with
EMP.
the wires around.
EMP blast of some
But
kind.
yeah,
Okay.
Will, to your point about meta progression and the ability to be able to beat a game at its lowest level of meta progression, if you knew all the ins and outs of ball pit and all the like great strategies and synergies and all that stuff, could you beat like this whole game top to bottom?
No, just level one. I think that's the requirement. It has to be
Yeah, I
like
mean,
get to the end of that sort of phase.
I think you could. I think you
Okay.
could. I do think that, like the progression treadmill is the game here, much like with Vampire Survivors, that like that is the draw. Like that, I think, is more of the draw than like the base gameplay because, you see like gameplay videos of people who are like super, like 30, 40 hours in, and it's just like this like fireworks blender of colors. And that's, I think, kind of what you're building towards is like. Because like what we're everything that we've described about so far about the game being like 15 minutes on a run, that's the lowest level. Like that's the intro level from like the Mega Bonk equivalent. There are nine other speeds of gameplay in that you would think, like me, wrongly, that oh, my balls also go faster. Nope, that is the enemy speed. So it's like in Vampire Survivors where you're taking like additional curses to have the enemies like move towards you faster so you can like mutilate them quicker. It's the same kind of deal. So if you like it's a difficulty modifier. So like they're walking at you faster, you have less time to shoot your same ball speed, but your meta progression treadmill is the counterbalance to that. So
Right,
yeah, I think
you're shooting like 20 balls instead of five.
from the meta progression, yeah. And
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point now with my meta progression that like I beat the smoldering or the gory grasslands my first time, the smoldering depths the first time, and now I'm just like You do have to beat the levels multiple times to unlock the next unique stage, which kind of it's kind of a cheap way to force you to engage with that blueprint system. But at the same time, you are incentivized to beat the game with multiple characters and combinations of characters. We didn't really talk about this much at all either, where like one of the main gameplay features of this is bringing in two characters at the same time. And one like major aspect of that is like so for example, if you pick the embedded the character whose balls always pierce enemies until they hit a wall, you combine that with like the let's say the itchy finger who burns enemies, then like you're starting off with like two balls that like could in theory be combined to, or well, number one, you always have that passive, so you're poisoning everything in a big way, and you're like poisoning a big chunk of the map, and you're also setting a lot of the map on fire immediately to start with. So your build strategy just from this one kind of unlock is just like blown open from all the different characters that you've unlocked. What happens if you pick the shield bearer? Who bounces stuff off with the shade who shoots balls like downward that hit enemies from the backside. Like that seems like another kind of like wild thing, and then combining it with all the other passives. So,
Not
roundabout.
only can you ball X pit, not only can you one ball with another one, but also you can X the characters. Wow, what a deal. I haven't even unlocked that, and I was very excited to hear about that when the two of you told me right before the show.
So I think the long and the short of it is that, you could skill your way through this game, but I think the draw is the town building. It is like, the progression, scaling.
The journey.
It's the journey.
Can I cite my major grievance? Is this a good
Yes,
time?
absolutely. Is
Because
that a
and I
character in
think
the game?
I major grievance.
we're drawing a lot of parallels, I think, with Vampire Survivors, and rightfully so. And I'm just asking myself, like, what's the difference here? Vampire Survivors got me right away, and I was just pulled in. And as I think about all the differences, because all the items coming together and like the meta progression stuff, there's a lot of similarities there. What is the difference? I think it's the scroll of enemies. They're just slowly Tetrising at you. And when you think about Vampire Survivors, there's just a ton, like over the course of the entire run, there's a number of different evolving patterns of enemies coming at you over time. So some of them will swirl in and come in from different angles. Others will have other specific patterns, and you're having to adapt, and your skill level is actually understanding how the enemies move and understanding at a certain point, like, oh, there's going to be a bunch of flowers that spawn around me, and there's going to be a praying mantis that appears in it at a certain point. And like, I know how to deal with that now because I've done it so many times. Whereas this, I mean, maybe again, an hour, what the hell do I know? But it just feels like they scroll at you, you try and get it around the edge, or I mean, obviously you adapt it. Like maybe you can pierce through things like you're talking about, but like fundamentally, is there going to be a major difference in the way that you're playing the game? It doesn't seem clear to me that that's the case. And I think maybe that's what's lacking for me. Other than that, like, I mean, it all wonder. Yeah, I don't know. I can't say what
Some of
else.
the boss fights are more involved with that, where they kind of turn into like these little mini bullet hell sequences, which they're not like incredibly punishing, but they're just interesting and like that enough where they have interesting sort of patterns for you to weave through. I kind of wish there was more like boss variety per level, because yeah, like once you've ground all the blueprints from the Boneyard, there's no point in going back, because it's just like, all right, well, I've done everything there is to do here. Versus Vampire Survivors, you have this enormous map of just like there's stuff all over the place, and yeah, like there's more of an exploration element to it. I'm not sure if it's a limitation of this game being like pseudo or like partially 3D, that just like severely limits the amount of content that you can make for it. But I can, I yeah, like I agree with that of like the enemy movements are not super complicated. The enemies themselves aren't really that memorable. Like just kind of scrolling through some of the enemies from like the ice level. If I told you what was the difference between an icebound band and an icebound bastion, would you have any idea?
One has more
No.
hit points.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go.
One can only be damaged from the front or the side or the back. Those are your options. Or no, I guess you can rotate them slightly or give them an octagon shape. Like that's is that the is that basically the run of the
Was it one of the enemies
yeah.
that's stacked?
Oh yeah,
Oh,
sometimes
that's
there's
it.
more than one on top, so you have to
Well,
hit it more than once and then it gets smaller and smaller. It's really just the
that's never been
same.
done before. I like that. Yeah, no.
That's really just the
There's
same as having an enemy with more hit points though.
now there are some
Whoosh.
enemies like in the desert level that start shooting lasers and start having more mobility to them that I felt like, okay, this is starting to open up and be more challenging. I almost kind of think that like the meta progression stomps that creativity a little bit, where like, oh, I've just become this like inhuman blender now, and all these kind of like cool and interesting enemy designs, I'm just like screen wipe,
But
and
that's also a problem in something like Vampire Survivors, where
sure.
any time where you're too far ahead of the curve. Like my joke with Vampire Survivors is always that the goal is to get to the point where you can stop playing. You're just sitting there and everything dies when it comes to you.
Yeah, I mean that feels like kind of like the end
Scott,
goal here.
I think you're bragging. We get it. You got way further than us. Your meta progression's way ahead of us, and your builds are better. Yeah, it that can be, but unfortunately, as you say, Colin, it is kind of a universal issue that exists. Will, I think my recollection is that when we talked about Brotato, one thing that you and I talked about with Brotato was like, yo, where's my level to explore? There's no exploration. And I agree that that is lacking, and that is one of the strong parts of Vampire Survivors is getting to wander around and
Exploration
travel
as
and
a yeah.
explore. Yeah, exploration is one of the main building blocks of games. And so it's not really here. I think that the fact that you can wander around in the bottom half of the screen and that you are aiming your attacks does kind of offset that a little bit. Like it gives you something else to do in lieu of exploration, but it doesn't scratch the same itch. And it's understandable that someone who likes Vampire Survivors might not necessarily like Ball X Pit.
What if in this game, as a, just a, as a concept for how it could be different to be improved, we just take this base game and instead of it just being a single channel, now it is non-parallel walls and angles, and then also it trifurcates, but there's decisions being made at these points.
It's just a path that you're following.
Procedurally, whatever. Yeah, and maybe it's not. Maybe some of it is like go forward, but all that. But also, you have to come backwards in order to go forward. So there's like this risk of like going underwater, so to speak, when you're like going and running.
Oh,
I
and
don't
then
know
we
if
can
that's like
have a
possible.
segment where your R-Wing goes into all range mode, and then you have this big open arena where you can fight Star Wolf in. And yeah, I get what
I
you're
don't know.
saying. Like
I'm
in
just
Ball X
throwing some
Pit,
ideas out there.
in Ball X Pit X2, I think that perhaps we might see something like that. It would be interesting if the path was
Ball
not
divide
just
by
strictly vertical.
pit. Open world ball pit.
Ball divide by
Oh,
pit.
ball divide by pit. There you go.
Two
Sure.
ball, two pit.
Can I want to also just state the other thing. This is an observation. This is not a grievance. This is just a, oh, this is where we're at with game development in 2026. Right now, roguelite has been blended with pretty much every base game that we can think of. And this is just another in that example. Like obviously poker, roguelite, balatro. And then you've got I know there's been this one, a
Slot
roulette
machine.
wheel, a slot, oh yeah, a slot machine, Luckbe a Landlord. There's a blackjack one out there. There's just like every single game imaginable is being crossed with Yahtzee would be like slice and dice. I'm not sure exactly if that's perfectly true, but that's it seems like, yeah, you take all these childhood games or whatever, or just the games in general, splice it with a roguelike, and maybe you've got something. And this was just like an attempt in that direction. And I say attempt, I don't mean to say that it didn't, succeed for some
Sure,
people,
yeah.
but it's my question is like, what comes next? I mean, obviously there you can only blend, so you can only old game X new of roguelike so many times until you have every permutation. What's the next? Is there another big shift in the future? I guess that's a bigger question than we can answer here, really. But like, is there an end? Is there a limit? Are we about to approach some limit with roguelike games?
No.
Well, there you have it,
Great
people.
answer. Glad to hear it.
Because and the reason why I say that is because like whenever I'm like trying to find games that are similar to the one that we're talking about, I'm always going into like SteamDB. I'm like selecting all of the rogue tags, And then like the one or two spices that are like related to the thing that we're talking about. And it's amazing how much that like cuts down the amount of stuff. Like what was I looking at? I think there was like 13,000 games released on Steam, either in like the last month or year. It could be either, who knows? And yeah, that's like a stupid amount of games being released. But how many of those are something that's like this specific combination of like four or five elements? And what I think, Will, you're talking about is like things that we enjoy here in this program are maybe like one or two of those elements. But like the other three things, once you add those in, like that like narrows the pool to an alarming degree. And maybe there's still like 200 or 300 games in that leftover. But like how many of those are actually good? So I mean, poker roguelike games had been done before Balatro, sure. Balatro was like a very unique take on it. And as we'll get to, a little bit later about ball bouncing rogue games, there's other ones that do ball bouncing in different fashions. How many of them do it in like this is a very unique way of doing it. There could be one that I don't know, is the first person shooter equivalent of this, or the cyberpunk deck builder version of ball bouncing. Like, as soon as you add in all those like two or three extra spices, sure, like has it been done before? Yeah, but has it been
Ball
done
X
before good?
chess. You somehow there's chess pieces there too now.
Oh yeah,
Who
there's rogue
knows?
chess. Yeah, we've done that one as
No, no,
well.
no, no. Not
Rogue
just rogue
bingo.
chess. Ball
Yeah,
bouncing rogue
ball
chess.
bouncing. Yeah, now we start to add in the third
You
L.
just X
It's
the.
the
You just add another X.
X, and then you divide by another game type, and then you take the modulo, and then I don't know.
Exactly. Easy.
So unlimited. That's
Yeah.
exactly. Well, I don't know why I was asking.
I
That
mean,
was obviously a dumb question.
I think the real answer for this is that most of these games are don't require a large team. They fit well with the indie game style stuff, so people can just take a swing at it and be like
Take a swing. What about roguelike baseball? Great
one
idea,
to five
Colin.
people. Rogue ball.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Ball
It's
X base X ball.
roguelike games. We talk about this a lot, and I blab about it a lot, where you add roguelike elements to a game, and you can really expand the amount of like content replayability if you do it
I
right.
want rogue
And
football.
ooh, interesting, intriguing,
What
intriguing.
one game
Which
that would
football?
Woody has been lobbying me
Blood
hard.
Bowl.
No, I
What do
mean like
you
American or European.
American.
And but yeah, you're right. Indie development, these roguelike games appeal to, I think, indie developments because you can get a lot of bang for your buck with not a lot of developers and not necessarily a lot of money. So yeah, it is great that we're living in a time that that it's a type of genre that has that option where a lot of people can be working on it and trying a lot of different things, and as a result, the genre has exploded in the last 5, 10 years.
Yeah, frequent guest on the program, Woody, has been lobbying me hard for us to play this ice hockey roguelike game
Oh,
that he has put an alarming amount of hours into. So,
define alarming if you had to
well, his
guess.
profile's private, so I don't know the exact number,
Oh,
but
so he's ashamed. I see.
yes.
Yeah, there's only one reason to do that. No, I can't. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay.
Well. Yeah, this is ball X pit, not ball slash pit.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there's a
That's the divide by.
whole unexplored element of slash fiction with roguelike games that we haven't explored. Or it's out there. Patreon
Rogue Mantasy.
episode?
All right, I think
Yeah,
it's clear
let's
that
explore
we're done
our
here.
ratings.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, let's hop into our ratings numbers here.
Oh, I'm
Maybe
gonna
we'll
go
do
first, and I can almost
another.
guarantee it. Is that right? Is that because
Yeah,
we're
there we
ranking
go. We'll
lowest
do
first?
another worst of first.
What do I fit in? I'm just curious. Okay, no, you guys are all okay. You know what? Okay, well, getting right into it. Ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Well, 5 balls out of 10. I'm just gonna lead with that. It's and I will say you should. If we had a weighting system in our grid here, you would de-weight. You would turn my weight down quite a bit here because an hour in, and you guys are all saying it's rough. It's hard to get into it. Maybe if I could get in, you know, if I got the Andrew was saying 8 hours in, I just can't do 8 hours of something with until I'm hooked, you know. So
Maybe it's more like 4 or 5. Maybe,
four or
maybe.
five, okay. Maybe I could have given it
But
a more of a
I hear
shot.
you. Yeah.
Yeah, so
Six or seven, that's a lot and I'm sorry to talk over your time. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big commitment, especially in the modern age.
yeah, your scroll type game, as I have found for myself, not a big fan of it. I guess, well, do I like Tetris? No, I don't like Tetris. Okay, no, that's a fair statement, I think. And do I like my brick breakers? I think when I was like 10, 11, 12, and I know this brick breaker, Pong obviously being the original of this style. There's all different terms for this. Like, I remember having some fun. And the really the core thing, and I think what this game gets at is when you have the ball, and like in the brick breaker anyways, there'd be like a small channel, and if you got your angle just right, and that was mostly not about aiming with your mouse, but about having it hit your paddle at just the right angle, it would go in there and then go ding 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 and bang, and like hit off all the walls. They'd be changing color, they'd be blowing up, and there'd be all these bonuses flying, power-ups flying out. That was crazy. That was fun for, you know, 12, when I was 12, that was like peak gameplay. I don't know, something about this, maybe if there was an actual paddle where there's the skill of the game is you have to make sure that it hits at, like, you know, right at the right point, maybe that would have done something for me. But just aiming with the mouse where you want it to go, moving around in this channel, not my favorite thing. 5 out of 10.
Andrew.
I agree that at times the gameplay sort of reminds one of the Strait of Hormuz, and that's troubling. And, you know, we try to play games to escape the real world. And, you know, when we're getting, you know, hit in the face with these reminders of, you know, current day troubles. Anyway, no. Okay, about a kid. So what do I got? It's very possible the score will go up because, as I've said, it's been kind of an upper trajectory of the more I play it, the more I like it. I think that at this point, however, oh, I remember I was going to come here today and I was going to say, yo, this game's overpriced, but now we've talked about it a bit. Now that I've actually double checked what the price actually is, it's $14.99. And I think I got it on sale for, like, I don't know, two thirds of that or something. And I think that's pretty reasonable. A pretty well priced game. And, it is for me, because I have a unique scoring system that is not at all similar to my co-host, so take it with a grain of salt. It is going to be a C plus tier game, scoring 7.07 Andrew points, putting it right behind Noita, right ahead of the rogue like games found in UFO 50, and it is my new number 32 game, number 32 with 7.07 points.
Colin, now that your internet's back,
Yeah.
I don't have to read off your Discord statement, your
My
Discord tirade.
one sentence Discord statement. Well, I'll just read that and we'll be done.
Okay.
No, I'm gonna give it 7.4. I think that it, like Andrew, my score might go up if I play more of it. It is probably a bad sign that that's true. Like, if you're, this doesn't feel like the kind of game where it's like, oh yeah, you have to play 8 hours to get really into it. Like if it were a Hideo Kojima, like 2 hour, 2.5 hours of movie before your game starts, maybe you're signing up for a different thing, but this is not what you're signing up for here. But I do think the gameplay loop gets more addictive the deeper into the game you get. With the caveat of there's definitely some stuff that they could do or could have done to make it more interesting. Like I just am looking at Brick Breaker images on Google right now, and I'm like looking at all the weird formations of bricks that came down. It's like, yeah, most of the time the bricks are coming down in this one. It's just like a line, like a huge like square of guys. Like there are things that they could have done to make it more various in terms of the enemies. I think that's the biggest complaint, and the fact that, you know, 8, 10 hours in, like that hasn't become super apparent. Like I wouldn't begrudge anyone for bouncing off of this game early, but push through. Still pretty good game. 7.4 out of 10.
I will collect all the balls here after they've bounced at the top and bring us home. For me, it's going to go into a nice fat 7.7 chunk of my ratings. Somewhere around, I don't know, like, I guess my new number 43rd to 48th game. I guess slightly behind Rift Wizard and slightly ahead of Dot Age for me. Notably ahead of Loop Hero, I think. I think this game, the meta progression, while it kind of took a while to get going, I thought was maybe more interesting than Loop Heroes. Loop Hero felt super grindy. This is also grindy, but maybe in a like more pleasant way. Where, yeah, like we've kind of said, the more that I engaged with this game, the more fun that I had with it. And a lot of my Google Doc notes here are like kind of negative about the meta progression. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe I was too harsh on that when I first wrote that at like hour two or three. But now I can kind of see like the loop going. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see how the power scaling is going and stuff. The meta progression stuff offers a lot of like interesting almost strategy to it of like, how do I want to place my things in such a way to like see all the bouncing stuff go around? And there's an interesting amount of thought and care that's been put into that, along with a lot of stuff in this game. There's a lot of neat ideas and attention to detail. The controller rumble weirdly feels really good. The art design and the graphics and sound are also great. The ball combat sequence is fun and interesting once you know the proper way to kind of combine the balls together. You might have to do a little bit of digging and research of what's the correct way to play it. But once you've cracked that, I think it's fun. I think it is definitely. We've been playing a lot of like really brain-heavy games that we'll talk about in a second here. And this was a good thing to kind of just like you're vegging out on the couch. The day is done. You don't want to think really super hard. You just want to see the balls bounce back and forth and flash. It does that really good. And if that's what you're looking for, and you're looking for a game for number go up, it does that really good as well. So 7.7 for me, and that's going to put Ball Pit overall in our new number 58 game. Just behind Hoplite and just ahead of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Blue Rescue Team. But yeah, that will wind up our rankings. Real quick, for similar games to this, we kind of touched on ball breakers, but also vampire survivor type games. Previous episodes of Brotato, previous episodes, Vampire Survivors, Halls of Torment, and Holocure, to go check those out for more groggy goodness. Some ones that are similar to this that we haven't covered yet, I guess. Survivor likewise, Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, people have come around a lot on since early access. But Punball is a mobile game that this game was more or less directly inspired by. There's a cool like raster graphics take on these old games. What was it like missile defense slash roguelike called Utopia Must Fall that is very stylistic and interesting. Of course, you got Peglin, which is maybe sort of the originator of this ball bouncing pachinko
Look, we
game
survived this
type.
game without making a bunch of sex jokes, but there's no way we can play Peglin on this show and keep a straight face. I believe it's a quick correction. Missile Command, maybe? Is that the
Yeah, that's
name
what
of
I'm
the
thinking of.
old
Yeah,
school? Speaking
Missile
of ball,
Command.
like, they used to have that spinning ball that you would use to aim things. Maybe there's a really sweet MAME machine mod for Ball X Pit where you actually literally aim with one of those spinning balls.
That'd be pretty great. Two more here. A super unhinged GeoCities art style game of Nubby's Number Factory, which, boy, if you want
Ooh.
a game with number go up, there you go. And then finally, there's one that's, I think, developed by a guy out here in Bellevue called Ballionaire, which is another kind of ball bouncing roguelike game. Link those in the show notes to go and check out as well. So that will wind down our Ball X Pit. Ball Pit episode, Ball Times Pit. You can find more. You can have a website, grogpod.zone, has all of the stuff. One stop shop. Just go there, grogpod.zone. Mastodon, grogpod.gamedev.place. I've been grog posting heavy on there the past, gosh, I don't know, like month for our big episode 100. So if you go Mastodon, hashtag grogpod100, we'll find some kind of teasers I've been putting up there with stuff to follow. And if you want to write in with your stories and experiences and all that stuff, grogpodzone@gmail.com is the email. And so, finally, After 99 regularly scheduled episodes, with maybe a part two or a bonus episode here thrown in here or there, we come to it at last, our big 100th episode. And for this, I didn't want it to just be like, yeah, we'll just, I don't know, play some game and say, oh, it's episode 100. No, these podcasts never last forever. So I wanted to make this a big deal. I wanted to celebrate our fun with it. And because we hadn't covered Rogue, the 1980 super game that kicked all this stuff off, we could have just covered that, sure. But wouldn't it be more fun if we played all sorts of other weird games in that orbit? So upcoming for our episode 100 is a three-part, a first ever for the Grog Pod, where part one we are talking about not only just 1980 Rogue, but also the games that inspired it from the 1970s. So if you want to see it's or want to hear more about its evolution and how it came to be and why we should even care about such an old game, that'll be part one, which is coming out a week from this recording. So we're recording this on Tuesday. It's usually published on Wednesday if I got my shit together. A week from then is our first part on the mostly the games of the 70s that inspired 1980s Rogue. And then a week after that is the first wave of real, true, unadulterated, unfiltered, pure master race roguelike games from the 1980s, Moria, Hack, Larn, and Omega. And what 100th episode bonanza would it be if I didn't force my co-hosts to come over to my place over the weekend and sit down for 6 hours and force them at gunpoint to play all these weird games? And yeah, we'll have that. We'll have all sorts of listener letters from developers of some of these people who have played it since the 80s, played all these games for decades. And then finally, part three is kind of circling back and putting it all together of how have the what are all these ASCII games like now? And we're covering maybe the pinnacle of ASCII gaming, roguelike genredom of itself. So a week after that will be Brogue. So we have 3 whole weeks of uninterrupted grog pottiness between now and then, and then another week after that with our regularly scheduled programming. So you got basically 5 weeks of nonstop grog pod in your feed.
An entire 100 episode bonanza.
Oh yeah, and I can't thank my co-hosts enough for driving all the way across Seattle, awful traffic during World Cup season, braving the bridges to come out here and play some ASCII games that barely run. But yeah, I think it was I had a great time. Whether or not if anyone else had a good time, we'll leave it up to the recording to decide. But yeah, I'm excited to build up that momentum for like, okay, we've played all these really old ASCII games. How does that compare to Brogue? But yeah, that'll be fun to check out once we get to it. So in the meantime, we've got to bounce. And playing us out from this episode, we'll have to fire up those dusty lasers and snake statues because it's time to venture into the Liminal X Desert.